Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you today as we come to worship. The scripture I've chosen this morning is John 6, verses 24 through 35, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for it is on him that God the Father has sent his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then he said to them, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God, every one of us. Praise be to God. Just back a little bit. In my churches, they kind of took the microphones away from me. They said I was loud enough. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." He does not say, "I'm the cod liver oil of life or the prime rib of life." Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." Jesus does not say, "I am the rich escargot of life." Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." Not something we would turn up our noses at, and not something fancy either. Just common, ordinary bread. Every culture has bread in one or many forms. Bread has always been one of my favorite foods around. Bread is the staple of life. Bread is common, yet it is uncommon because it comes in so many forms. Our children all seem to like that white bread. There's wheat, and there's pumpernickel, and French, and Italian, and pita bread, and let's not forget those new tortillas we seem to see everywhere. The list seems to go on and on. Mention bread and chances are you have some good images or tastes or smells that pop up in your head. I can still remember my grandmother today. On Saturday, she would bake all her loaves of bread for her family. Hot homemade bread from her oven was just a great aroma. Can you remember that, your grandmother baking all that bread? But Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." All the other breads that we know about grow stale in a short period of time. Even that manna from heaven fed the Hebrews in the wilderness was temporary. It went away quickly. Our Jesus came as a new kind of bread, one that will never go bad, one that's not temporary, one that nourishes perpetually and lasts forever. Jesus offered one that sustains relationships and gives us hope. I see so many people living today who'd rather exist without the food of hope. So many people who seem to live hope-deficient lives. These people are pale and gaunt from a lack of sustenance. Some people search endlessly for prince or princess charmings to come with the food of romantic love. That'll make their loneliness and their troubles seem to disappear. And other people seem to gorge themselves on material goods, only to discover hunger is never satisfied. Like little starving children with swollen bellies, many people live as if they're just simply waiting to die. They seem to live lives of malnourished estrangement, estranged from themselves, estranged from family and loved ones, often estranged from their spouses, estranged from an old friend over an age-old argument, but especially estranged from God. Hopelessness breeds such estrangement, and estrangement starves our souls to death. It seems like I see folks every day searching for someone or something to fill their lives. Lonely and hurting folks looking somewhere for something to give them fulfillment. In our scripture, Jesus had just fed 5,000, over 5,000, and now they're sticking to him like glue. The miracle of the loaves reminds us of the people of the manna in the wilderness. They wondered, could this man be the new Moses? Could this man work miracles for us? So they demanded that he prove himself by making some bread from heaven and to rise up on the spot. Jesus, though, knew he needed much more than that. So Jesus gave himself for each and every one of us. But that isn't what they had in mind. Did they really want a relationship with a traveling preacher? No, what they wanted was what was for them. What can you give me? What do you have for me? They looked for a better food. They wanted miracles at their beck and call. Jesus corrected them even as he fed them. He said it was God, not Moses, who gave manna in that wilderness. It's God who gives a true bread from heaven, the bread that gives life to the entire world. The people began to beg, please give us some of that bread. John 6 and 35 says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never, ever be thirsty. It's that simple. Or is it? How did they not get it? How did he not get his words? It was undoubtedly very confusing to the people. And I think maybe today there's still some out there that are confused. Jesus is like manna in that through Jesus, God reminds us that we live because God provides not what we necessarily want, but exactly what we need in our lives. He gives us some food and some love, some breath, some water, and a relationship with the one who is the bread from heaven. But Jesus is markedly different from the manna in the wilderness. Now Jesus feeds us through relationships. There are many reasons why people are separated from one another and from God. I believe sin is certainly the biggest reason. We seem to think we can do this life without the help of God or anybody else. We can do it on our own. But none of us are immune to broken relationships. Each and every one of us have been through that. Yet relationships are necessary for life as bread. We have been created to be in relationship with each other, and certainly with God. God knows how fragile we are and how fragile our relationships are and how we need to be continually fed. See, God sent the bread of heaven in the person of Jesus the Christ. In Jesus Christ, God comes as sustenance for the sick and the sequestered. He comes as a banquet for the bereaved and bottomed out. He comes as a feast for the lost and the forsaken. He comes for you, and he even comes for me. In Jesus Christ, God leaves a trail of breadcrumbs, little breadcrumbs, to lead us home. Something unexplainable happens when we start picking up one by one and eating those seemingly small and insignificant crumbs of life. We come to ingest the hope and peace an unconditional love that is Jesus Christ, we come to realize that maybe for the first time ever, that the very presence of this bread means that there is no disagreement, no more argument or sin big enough to keep God from continually loving us. He loves us right where we're at. Every hurt and every pain, he's right there with us. The bread is not only an invitation to life. You see, it is life. It is life. Whenever life triumphs over human sinfulness and estrangement and hopelessness, there is we find the bread of life. If that is what God has done for us in Christ, if God is truly unwilling to let sin be the focus of our existence, but instead feed us, then how shall we respond? How shall you and I live differently from the world? Look at the pain and the hurt in our world today. How shall we live differently? We let our differences define who we are. We coddle conflict and chew upon controversy. Or we as Christians live lives worthy of our calling, imitating the one whose love rises like the bread. In Jesus Christ, the bread also rises to cover, overcome all that would keep us apart from God and one another, to overcome death. The smell of that freshly baked bread is coming from the table. And soon the breadcrumb trail will lead us out into the world, the little crumbs of bread. I've been part of the care team for a while in the church, and I've had the honor and privilege of serving communion to our shut-ins. I'm so humbled as I serve, sometimes a small crumb of bread, sometimes just a few drops of juice. These servants of the church that are homebound now. And I found over the years the two greatest things that are so very important to them is hearing the Lord's Prayer and being served communion. It doesn't matter if they can no longer even take of the bread. Just a small drop of juice upon their lips reminds them the sacrifice of Jesus for them and reminds them that, yes, he still is with them. God is with them in a tiny bit of juice, that tiny crumb of bread sometimes, and the Lord's Prayer. How humbling and moving it is when you say the Lord's Prayer with somebody and the tears just roll down their eyes. We often have shared many tears together. I want you to remember our shut-ins today as you receive your communion. Remember to pray for them. I tell you today that many pray for you in this church daily. May we all be nourished and empowered by this great gift of bread, the bread of life. May we all rise up and live out the unconditional love God baked within each one of us through a relationship with Jesus Christ. As we today lift the bread and the juice to our lips, let us remember the great sacrifice that Christ takes upon himself. He takes away all our sins and gives us a gift of everlasting life. Amen.
Would you pray with me, please?